This is the Techno Buffet Podcast, episode number 670, recorded Wednesday, March 20th, 2024. In 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Dum-dum-dum.
Welcome to another exciting episode. Back on a Wednesday.
Yes.
Yeah, there was no jet lag exhaustion. There was no family wedding. There was no trip in Bulgaria. So I'm home and it's Wednesday.
Excellent.
I'm glad
to hear it.
Yeah, also the equipment is slightly new. Sort of.
Did you buy new equipment?
Not exactly. Did I buy new sound equipment? That's the question.
Yes.
No. So for the longest time, the Zoom computer that's been running your audio has been a GMK Nook box that Amazon sent me. When I ordered one Nook box, they sent me two Nook boxes and told me to keep the extra Nook box.
Okay.
So that's essentially a Celeron J processor. So I swapped that out for an Intel N100, which is a much faster processor. But I had two computers hooked up to the Zoom system, and the other one was the other Nook box, which was a Windows based Nook box that I was using to do scanning with that duplex scanner I have that requires a Windows driver that Linux doesn't have. So I really don't need two computers, so I decided I would just bite the bullet, and the Zoom computer is going to stay Windows until I finish all the scanning. And then maybe I'll dual partition it at some point. There's a but to this.
What?
So while I was doing the rewiring, I decided to make some other improvements to the desk. So the big improvements that started on Saturday night and continued through Sunday into Monday... would be what I did to the desk as a whole.
Okay.
So one of the reasons the audio sounds different is I switched the monitor, the microphone mount. So for some years, I've had a over-monitor mount. So it's essentially, it's a boom arm that went from the desk over the monitor and then back down to me.
Right.
I switched to a low-profile mount, which comes up below the monitor.
Ooh.
So I have a dual monitor setup, as I've mentioned, technically triple, but we'll get to that in a second. And the microphone the low profile microphone mount is in between the two monitors. So when I'm not using it now, what I can do is push one of the monitors out of the way on the arm, push the microphone behind it, and then pull the monitor back in, like a little secret compartment.
Right.
So now the microphone is in a different location. It is now down in a more permanent and useful location. Not that the over monitor mount wasn't good, it just didn't work for my setup.
Oh, okay.
But there's more.
There's more.
Okay, so I have two monitors that are hooked up to my primary computer, and then the third monitor, which acts as the monitor for the Zoom system. I switched the monitor for the Zoom system was a 13-inch portable. It was the first portable little monitor I got that I used as a second screen with my laptop. I actually got a replacement because the new one that I've put in is a 14-inch. It's also one of those little laptop accessory monitors, but it has a touchscreen. So okay. Right now, without me having to go and get my little mobile keyboard, which I keep under the desk that's hooked up to it, I can mute, stop, and just essentially press the media control buttons for Zoom right on the screen.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah, and that, so it's two monitors for my computer, and then the other monitor is above it. So because I was doing this, I decided to make some other modifications in addition to the low-profile mount. For the two main monitors, I replaced the larger, I actually have two lopsided monitors. a 32 and a 27.
Are they at least the same dot pitch?
Yes.
Okay.
So I replaced the arm on the larger of the two monitors, which is my primary. I use the smaller monitor for information.
Right.
So that's where, let's say you were sending me a message, it would show up on monitor two. I've considered doing that thing where you rotate it and use it for programming, but I haven't done that. But so I switched to a new arm, and I didn't actually change out the mount, the rest of the mount, but I swapped it for some old parts I had.
Right.
So I had a very short arm there that was holding up the mount, and the mount was not staying up neatly. So I switched to a different arm, used a pole that I had from a previous installation, and just got a upgraded bracket to clamp it to the desk. And I added a metal reinforcement plate in between the clamp and the desk to reduce vibrations.
Okay, cool.
But wait, there's more.
Ooh.
So I mentioned that this is an N100 computer, and I previously had the computer on the desk, but I was able to get a mount that bracket that allows me to mount the little mini PC to the pole for the monitor mount, which is why I put the taller pole on. So there'd be extra pole for me to mount that on. So the computer running the Zoom is mounted behind the primary monitor on the pole supporting the primary monitor. Now, the secondary pole, there's a second pole that supports the second monitor, has a second arm on it above the first arm, which is what's holding the monitor screen. The mini one, the one with the touchscreen.
Okay.
But there's more. On top of the primary monitor, in between the monitor mount bracket and the monitor, I installed a little shelf. And the shelf allows me to, it was actually referred to as a live streaming shelf, but it allows you to essentially mount things on top of it, in addition to just using it as a shelf. So it has holes, and you can mount a ball head on it. So I mounted a ball head on it and then attached a camera to the ball head. So if I was doing video, which I'm not now, but occasionally I'm in Zoom meetings where I turn on video, there is a now next to the little monitor, the Zoom monitor, there is now a camera which is aimed down at me.
Aimed down at you? That'll make you look skinnier.
No, I checked it. It's my face. It doesn't show very much of the background, so it's proportionally right. And because that made it look dark, behind that, on mounted to that same bracket for the primary television, is a light that I can turn on. So like a back camera lighting.
Nice. Okay, cool.
So I spent a lot of money on steel this weekend, because it's all essentially pieces of metal that I attached to my desk. So there's one more coming tomorrow. All this produced a bunch of wires, so I got one of those wiring trays that I'm going to screw into the bottom of the desk to hold the wires off the floor. There's only one little problem I have.
What's that?
When I type, sometimes the monitor vibrates. Do you have that problem?
I do not.
Wonder why not?
I have my keyboard on top of a mouse pad, so that probably absorbs some of it.
Have that.
And my mounts are, there's no spring in them. They're 3D printed, and I use screws to make fine adjustments.
And again, one of these mounts does not have I think it's the pole that vibrates.
I also have a really big desk that does not vibrate.
How big is your big desk?
It's an L. It is 72 inches one way, 72 inches the other way, and looks like 32 inches deep on both sides.
I have a 60 by 30 desktop.
So I have.
That is about an inch and a quarter thick. It is not hollow, it is solid. It's actually a restaurant table top.
Nice.
Yeah, got it at Walmart. They damaged it in shipping. They gave me 15% off. Then it's supported by two the legs on essentially one leg on each side and then a cross bracket. And these are it's a set of manual standing desk legs, so I can crank it up.
Cool.
But I'm still wondering what I can do. I tightened every screw in the desk. I added the reinforcement plates under the mounts, even though it's a really thick desk and you shouldn't need a reinforcement plate to try to redistribute the vibrations. I put a fresh cushioned mouse pad under the keyboard, but whenever I type, it still does vibrate a bit, a lot less than it did before I started this. But I'm wondering if I'm missing something obvious. Either way, I think I did a nice job for the next few years. I still have a few minor tweaks, like the cable organizer screwed into the bottom of the desk, and I want to get some additional ball mounts to, since I have that little shelf, in order to angle the lighting and the camera sequence down. But turned out nicely.
Cool.
Also, I want to clean up the wiring that I sort of made messy after I get the cable organizer. So that was not something I planned on doing. Have you ever been in a position where you said, I'm going to do this little thing, and all of a sudden, like, there's a box of six large, heavy pieces of steel mounting equipment arriving in a box from Amazon?
I have often had jobs that they just spiral out of control.
This
Like the one time that we were going to buy a queen size mattress because my daughter was visiting, and we ended up remodeling that entire half of the house and putting down completely new floors and redoing
Yeah, I've never gone to remodeling half a house, but I've done that sort of thing where I decided to start a project and then I realized I sort of increased my scope and maybe I shouldn't. That's not necessarily the sign of a good project manager. I'm not a project manager, but I'm saying I'm managing this project. But the thing is, I think it's going to set me up for another few years. So it's not like I looked into when I put in the mount and when I did the last revision. And it dates back probably about 5 years. So even with the probably one of the reasons that the mount was wobbling, the older one, to a greater degree than this newer one, was probably because the thing holding that weight for 5 years probably did wear out some of the. So this is much more reinforced and heavy duty. Although the second monitor is still using the older mount, so I may replace the arm. The nice thing is that since I'm using modular components that clamp to a pole, I could swap the arm without having to replace the whole pole. And as I said, I did actually remove the pole, put the new reinforcement bracket down, and then replace it. But that it's way overbuilt for what it is. All the parts are structurally stronger than I probably need.
But yet you still get vibrations.
Someone said maybe you type too hard. You can hear me when I type, so who knows?
Maybe you type too consistently.
Yeah, well, I'll keep
So
thinking
like,
about it, but I'm curious, if anybody chooses to write in, like some of the previous questions that have been that I've asked, if anybody has any thoughts on that.
no.
Speaking of people writing in, we have a message from Russ who wrote in, and I don't think I remembered to read this last week, so I wanted to cover it. Hi guys, longtime listener, never written in though. I started listening when I was in college for InfoSec, probably around 2013. There have been many topics that have almost gotten me to write in over the years. I even thought while listening in the car, oh, I should email them later and never do. I have enjoyed the slow progression from Android coverage to the IoT heavy show it has become. This time I'm finally emailing in about the 3D printing you're asking for. I've gone through seven or eight 3D printers, a mix of FDM and resin. At this point, all of my FDM printers are packed up. Resin has entirely won me over. I've been using an Elegoo Saturn II 8K since mid-last year. It is hands down the best printer I've ever owned. Once I figured it out, it prints like a dream. I have been using the Elegoo brand high-res resin. I switched over to Epax hard resin a few months ago after seeing it in use at a miniature shop at Dragon Con. Dragon Con sounds like fun, by the way. The Epax, it sounds like a lot of interesting and quirky people. The Epax resin has some trade-offs. It has lower viscosity, which means it can be mixed more easily and flows out easier. It also must print 50% slower. The trade-off for that is an amazing print quality that needs minimal post-processing. Instead of heavy cleaning in multiple stages of IPA, it gets 2 1-minute long watches in the first two stages, then 1 minute of curing. Happy to discuss options more. Also happy to be an InfoSec SME if you guys ever need one. And that's from Russ.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know much about resin. I know what it is, and I know that...
He's got a good printer. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
The Igloos and the Saturn's a good size. 8K gets him way more resolution than he'll ever notice. It's good stuff.
Yep. And thank you for writing it. I still have not gotten to the printer because I got sidetracked on this project that I didn't plan on doing. But I use my computer a lot, so I think having this improvement is a quality of life thing that I would enjoy. And once I get the wires off the floor, I think I'm done with that. Anyway, so that was that, and I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I thought that you would find that little story of me just like throwing heavy-duty metal mount pieces at my desk until it was better.
Right.
Amusing. But the real improvement, as I said, is the low-profile monitor mount instead of the boom one that I've been using for several years. Because the boom traveled with me from two previous desks. So it's been around probably since almost the beginning of the podcast. So the low profile one is actually a little easier for me. So you've noticed because the audio is in a better place.
It is in a better place.
Yeah, because it's closer to my mouth because it's below the monitor instead of above it. But I'm happy about that. And we'll see what else. Also, while I was abroad, it just arrived today. I got my global entry card. They didn't tell me there'd be a picture of me on it.
Well, of course there is.
I don't know. I'm never going to use the thing. If you fly and use Global Entry, you don't need the card. The card's only used at land border crossings, and I have no immediate plans to go to Mexico or Canada. At least by ground. I've always wanted to visit Vancouver, but not the one you've been to, the other one. The one that requires a border crossing. So you never know, but I got global entry while I was traveling because my TSA pre-check was set to expire at the end of the year, and it wasn't that much more, and I found out that you can actually just, you need an interview to do global entry, and I found out you could do it when you arrive into an immigration station.
Right.
So there I was sitting at the immigration station being interviewed. And they were nice about it. They said that since my fingerprints were on file with the FBI already, that there wasn't that much to worry about, that the approval was really quick.
Nice.
Anyway, by the way, before anybody assumes that I've committed a federal crime, I probably should mention why my fingerprints are on file with the FBI. It is not because I committed a crime.
Okay.
I thought as a good fallback career, I got a teaching license in the state of New York. If you're a teacher in New York, you have to be fingerprinted. And a security check has to be run by the FBI, so they have my fingerprints.
Right.
So nothing illegal. Also, I had TSA pre-check, which also would get me fingerprinted. So I have never, to my knowledge, been fingerprinted due to an actual criminal act.
Well, that's no fun.
I'm boring. I was just talking to somebody because a cannabis dispensary opened up in my neighborhood. And someone asked, are you going to try it? I said, probably not. I'm not interesting enough to use cannabis. But I don't drink either. Not my thing. Anyway, moving along, a few things that have happened over the course of this week that are interesting. The current appointment slots feature in Google Calendar will be replaced by appointment schedules.
Okay, cool. What?
Yeah, I had to sort of explain this. So schedules are essentially where you can create a booking page so people can book time with you.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it's essentially they've had two features, the slot one and the schedule one, and they're sort of harmonizing them. So I appreciate the fact, despite the fact I don't use my, even though I use Google Calendar, I don't use any of the sort of business scheduling things in it. Right. I appreciate that they've realized that they have two similar features and they can only have one. And they will consolidate. The next one really intrigues me. The PineVox. So Pine64, the people responsible for the Pine Tab, the Pine Box, the Pine Time, etc. They are developing the PineVox, which is a smart speaker with a microphone kill switch. So if you look at the picture, which is in the show notes, and Jerry, have you seen the picture?
Yes.
Doesn't the top look, you know, vaguely like an old Echo Dot?
It does.
Yeah, because it has...
Or like, a Sonos.
Yeah, so it has, you know, like the microphone kill switch. It has like a volume up and down control. They haven't created specs for this thing, but I think that if this thing is reasonably priced, and let's say the Home Assistant community will definitely get it supported under Home Assistant, that I would buy one of these.
Cool.
I don't know.
I wonder if you could use it as a as an input to Home Assistant's.
No, that's what I'm predicting. Somebody will write it.
Oh yeah.
But I, you know, this looks like it's a it's an interesting alternative home device compared to the ESP. What is it? I always get this wrong. What is it? It's ESP 32S3 dash whatever dash box whatever it is, the thing that I bought.
Right.
Why is it I can never remember that name?
I don't know.
But you, so it's a little one with the LCD screen, and I've had it on my desk, and I keep occasionally setting it off, even though I don't say the magic word. But recently, and this is one of the other stories here, Home Assistant finished its Year of the Voice contest. So the Voice Assistant Community Contest. And one of the things that won an award was an individual who updated this particular device with a new feature. So the new feature is... that when you actually say something, then it's going to display the text of what you said on the screen. And apparently, somebody submitted this, and apparently the developers had thought that this was not possible.
Right.
And had never tried to implement it. But apparently somebody did, and it was added to the official Voice Assistant firmware for the S3 boxes. So I've been trying this. It turns out that it does actually understand what I'm saying. It just doesn't know what to do with it. So I need to do some work to teach it some of the things that I want it to be able to do. For example, one of my favorite questions is what time is it and what is the weather? And I'd like it to be able to answer those questions.
Excellent. But
those are custom sentences that I'd have to do. I'll get to it. You know, so many things to do, not enough time. And while we're talking about the winners of the Voice Assistant Community Contest, apparently the most creative satellite idea was won by somebody who created a Bender voice assistant. So, namely, a voice assistant that is shaped and has a custom voice and in-character responses for the character Bender from Futurama.
That's funny.
If you like it.
I think that's funny.
I think it's funny too. I'm saying if you like having that. Apparently somebody did a assistant's mirror satellite, an R2-D2 satellite. There's a Jarvis assistant, an old-time radio, etc. A Death Star voice assistant, an egg voice assistant, you could see they all have demos and they all want a Sky Connect. Somebody came up with a great starting guide. Because why not?
Sure.
And one of the things that this person who did a starting guide, they created the Home Thing, which is an iPod-style remote for your home that includes a rotary dial, a screen, an IR blaster, a microphone, speaker, battery, etc. And it is open source, including the custom PCB that the person who created it designed. I don't want to deal with a custom PCB. If somebody built the thing and offered it at a reasonable price, I might consider it, but it's cute, though. Someone did a video series on the Wyoming Protocol. Somebody did a tutorial series on Home Assistant Love Voice. For best voice experiences, somebody came up with View Assist, which is a complete UI for Assist running on an old Android tablet that tries to replicate the UI of something like the Echo Show. And I'd like to see, you know, the community working more towards more complete assistants that have all that functionality. So just to quote the developer of this, it feeds its audio through the webcam app on an Android tablet to Stream Assist, which passes the audio to the Home Assistant server for wake word detection. The display control is via a browser mod extension, which allows for changing the view on the tablet. It's running fully kiosk Android for the full screen display, and if you remember, that was one of the things I was trying with an old tablet. All commands are handled by the custom sentences via a Home Assistant automation page. And the display portion is a single dashboard with one view per display, such as a clock.
Cool.
I appreciate it. Anyway, they have a few others. Linux UI using the Wyoming satellite. So that's an intriguing one, because I know that that's possible, but I've never actually played with it.
Right.
Where I could actually use my computer as the satellite for the voice assistant. Because right now you can do that if you open up the browser and hit the speaker button in there, but I wouldn't mind putting it in the dashboard and just hitting a button and having it listen. Anyway, it is doable, but I haven't played with it. They also have a few other ones with some great titles, like the Dice Activated Voice Assistant. The Node-RED ChatGPT-powered Bedtime Story Agent. It's just really worth, if you look at what these people came up with, sort of the creative. I just like, you know, if you read the notes. You can now have unlimited bedtime stories with your child as a main character. Simply replace your child's name and gender in the prompt and link to this flow with a button. And presto, computer mom is telling your child a wonderful bedtime story. I really want to hear some of these bedtime stories.
Yep.
Anyway, there's also, what do we have here? The Simple Assist Goodnight Routine and the Cute Executive Dysfunctional Automated Audio Medication Reminder Monster. That's a really complicated name.
It is. Yeah. I don't, it's good. CEDAAMR. I don't, it, I'm sure somebody makes a word.
Come up with something.
And,
yeah. And there's another one, the community choice, which is the HA Visual Voice Assistant, which is a voice experience that creates an on-the-fly AI-generated video of characters as visual feedback for Assist. So instead of having static images, this will just generate AI images as visual feedback for what's going on.
Cool.
Anyway, I look forward to seeing what other creative things. You don't need a contest to be creative. But again, it helps sometimes. If you use the YouTube app on a Roku or on a Chromecast, apparently the app is being tweaked by YouTube to reduce distractions and prioritize simplicity. I have not yet seen this interface, but I look forward to seeing whether or not I like it or not.
I have not seen it either.
These things always roll out slower than the people who find them and post them on sites. If you use Google Home for the web, it has finally has added camera history and clip downloads, which we previously only had through the app. So yay for parody. And this one I wanted to ask you about. This is from Cord Cutters. Most Americans would rather wait for a movie to come to streaming than pay to watch it in theaters. Where do you fall, Jerry?
Depends on the movie.
Yeah, there are some movies where the experience of watching it is worth going to a theater.
Like I plan on going to the theater to watch Frozen Empire.
It sounds like it's going to be an interesting movie.
Rotten Tomatoes is not a fan, but that just means I'm going to enjoy it even better. But before I can do that, I'm going to take my daughter, which means I've got to pull her up to speed and watch, the existing three before we can watch the fourth one.
So you're excluding the female-led reboot?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's not in the same universe. But anyway.
Yes, I'm including that.
Okay, thought I'd ask. I assume you're excluding the horrible show from the 70s that sued for copyright infringement on the name Ghostbusters.
I'm not familiar with that show.
You're better off. It was bad. There was a guy in a gorilla costume. Anyway, don't get me started. I have a lot of really weird pop culture references from the past that I really don't want to remember. But according to the Harris X poll for IndieWire, 34% of Americans would prefer to watch movies in theaters. Now, for me, there are certain movies where I would go to a theater, but for me, going to a theater is a group experience. I haven't had anybody who's wanted to go and see movies with me in a while. I used to have this friend where we had an agreement. He would always forget to show up when we said we were going to go see a movie. So I would just show up, and if he didn't come, then I would just see the movie on my own.
Right.
I'm at the point at which, because of the fact that it will eventually come to my home, that the only reason I'm going to a movie is if I can enjoy it with somebody. Like sitting after the movie and talking about, hey, wasn't that scene great? Or, oh, the plot of that movie stunk. I remember vividly seeing the 2009 Star Trek reboot, the Kelvin Universe one,
Right.
in a theater, and then sitting, in a restaurant not far away, just complaining about how bad the plot was.
I liked it.
But it made no sense.
Doesn't matter.
Okay, can you explain something to me?
Try.
Okay, so I travel back in time. On a, and I want to seek revenge on a bunch of people. I show up, I like destroy a ship, and then I disappear for 30 years, so that one of the lone survivors of that the ship I destroyed can grow up, become a bitter adult, and then defeat me later.
Sure.
Does that make any sense to you? Where was that character for all those decades? He essentially showed up in his future ship and then just, well, I'm just going to wait here for a couple of decades until everybody grows up.
I don't know.
It bothers me to this day.
I'm sorry.
It's bad writing. I'm willing to accept suspension of disbelief, but I am not willing to accept gigantic plot holes that you could drive a starship through.
Well, I don't know if it makes you feel any better, but
You're going to tell me there's a deleted scene that explains all of that?
no, I'm going to tell you that time travel is often full of
There are logically consistent time travel stories. But anyway, my point is that I really want to, and I really consider movies at a theater to be a social experience, and at the moment, I don't know anybody who wants to go see a movie with me. But, and part of that has to be with the last couple of years, I haven't done that much, so people move on. Jerry, do you want to see a movie with me?
I would love to.
Okay, I'll just have to
Unfortunately.
come to Jacksonville.
Yep.
Okay, unfortunately there might not be a movie I want to see when I'm in the neighborhood. But I will start planning. Anyway, I have a bunch of movies that have come to streaming that I haven't gotten around to watching. I hear good things about what was that movie? Black Panther 2. People said it was good. I'll get to it eventually. Anyway, if you're part of the 34% of people who prefer to watch movies in theaters, tell me, maybe we'll go see a movie.
Yeah.
Why not? We can have the Techno Buffet Podcast movie going night.
That'd be cool.
It would be. We've never had a meetup. I'm not counting the one time we were in the same room together. It wasn't a meetup so much as that we met up, but it wasn't a like a how many people can we get into the room? The FCC has declared that internet speeds below 100 megabits per second slash 20 megabits, I assume that would be download and upload, aren't broadband.
Sounds fair nowadays.
They hope to make 1 gigabit and half a gigabit up the new standard for broadband as technology advances. So the current standard, the 25.3, was set in 2015. They've said that now it's 120, and apparently they're just going to keep going. The FCC also found that America's internet infrastructure is lacking.
Ooh.
Well, you know what they say, always be innovating.
Yes, they say that.
Yeah, if you are
Maybe
interested. If you are interested in Google I/O, it is happening on May 14th. I like how The Verge described it. Expect more news about AI, Pixel Android, and probably even more AI.
Yep.
So,
That's kind of where that's what I'm expecting.
yeah, but it's, I think I've said it before that I hate it when everybody is focused on the same fad at the same time. It just, I start to experience fad fatigue. Where everybody wants to talk about the same buzzword at the same time. Right now it's AI. A few years ago it was cloud. Crypto was in there. And the idea is that suddenly there's a new and interesting technology and everybody is just, that's all they talk about, and they have to integrate into everything. Because what we need is we need our toaster to have AI. I'm just thinking, what would an AI toaster do?
Yep.
I just tried to think of an appliance that really does not need AI technology. A toaster seemed to be the one that came to mind.
That's funny.
Okay. Anyway, I know I'll be tuning in at least to some of the keynotes that are streamed online on around the 14th, because I'm sure they'll say something I might be interested in. And if they say too much about AI that bores me, that's what Fast Forward is for, because I probably won't watch it live.
Oh.
I'll be sitting at home asking Google's Gemini to generate some historically inaccurate photos for me. Anyway, moving along. Apparently, YouTube TV is still dominating cord cutting.
Sure.
It's become the fourth largest live television provider in the United States. It has exceeded Dish.
That's awesome. I mean, not, but cool.
Yeah, well, it's a change in the world. My prediction is that the cable companies will stop cabling.
And they will become common carriers, one
They,
hopes.
well, again, that would require the FCC to reclassify them.
Well, what if they don't carry TV anymore?
Then technically
All
they
they
wouldn't be.
carry is internet.
Yeah, then I would be the first to say reclassify them. Because remember, these are the same companies who want to drop telephone service.
Yep.
So essentially, if they want to drop telephone service, then the internet should be the common carrier obligation, where the same standards that they had for connecting people in rural areas apply. But that's my opinion. Moving along, Droid Life says that we are going to love the Android 15 app archiving feature. So you
Really?
yeah, so the idea is when you archive an app, it strips everything but the icon and the code to restore the app via Google Play. So essentially all the data is removed except for your personal data on it. So essentially the app, the whatever the cache data is,
Right.
and essentially the icon restores the app via Google Play. So when you click it, it downloads everything again. So this is potentially good for apps that you don't use very often where you're willing to just download it again. But to be honest about it, if you have an app that's that large that you don't use very often, do you really need it? Because most of the stuff I don't use very often can't be that big.
I don't know. It's some simple apps are really dumb.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying in general. Here's a good one. VLC's media player has hit 5 billion downloads.
That's impressive.
Yeah, and apparently they are doing a rewrite of the app's core.
Really?
Yeah.
That doesn't bode well.
And well, again, it's back to improvements may be worth it. But we'll see. I just like the review of the person who wrote this, which is, I installed the nightly build and it was buggy, crash frequently, and struggled to keep audio in sync. So hopefully the rewrite of the new version will not go become the permanent version until it actually does everything stably.
Yeah, good luck with that.
And of course, finally, if you follow TikTok, apparently the House passed some bill that banned TikTok unless it's sold by ByteDance.
And it was bipartisan.
Yes,
Everybody voted for that.
I appreciate that all politicians from all strokes of life thought that it was a good idea to force a company to sell their asset. But anyway, it
You
seems.
know how I feel about this?
Well, for me, it's sort of the. I understand the sort of concern about a Chinese leak company having this much influence in the United States. On the other hand, understanding that concern, I'm sort of put into the. If it were any other situation, they wouldn't do this. I find a lot of these things, and you've heard me say it in others, I find it very hypocritical. I'm not unaware of the security concerns, but I still find it hypocritical that this is what they're going to do. And I will just quote a spokesperson for TikTok who said, the bill was jammed through for one reason. It's a ban. We are hopeful the Senate will consider the facts, listen to their constituents, and realize the impact on the economy. Donald Trump said, if you get rid of TikTok, Facebook and Zuckerschmuck will double their business. They are a true enemy of the people. Okay.
Really think that TikTok is a competitor for.
No, and the thing is, TikTok isn't a competitor. It obviously, unless you consider that anybody who gathers our attention is a competitor for our eyeballs, it's a very different demographic. But
Is.
the simple truth is, there's never been any evidence that, other than the fact that it is linked to China, there is no evidence that TikTok has anything to do or is directly influenced by the Chinese government. And if they wanted to put in controls over that, I'm sure that they could find something reasonable other than saying, well, you have to sell it to a US company because we don't trust you. But I don't know. Anyway, the world is depressing in that regard. I also don't TikTok.
I don't either.
Well, I've staked my claim on multiple social networks just to have the account, but I do not participate very actively in social networks. The only reason that I have the account in some cases is so that the service will keep popping up, please sign in, which prevents me from occasionally when somebody sends me something seeing it, but I don't scroll through any of these places. So that brings us to the end of what I found this week in terms of show notes. Hopefully next week I'll have more exciting news on whatever it is I'm up to.
Oh,
Well, as I said, Saturday night I said, the top of my desk is messy. Let me just clean off the top of my desk. And before you know it, as I said, I'm like renovating the whole desk. So that thing happens to me when I start what I think is going to be a little project. Sometimes, as you've mentioned, it turns into a big one. So this Saturday night, I will not be cleaning my desk because I am going to an event. This Saturday night is a religious holiday, so I'm going. There will be refreshments.
ooh.
Yes. I'm told there's also entertainment.
Oh. Good luck. Have fun.
It'll be me and about and a bunch of senior citizens.
I'm sure it's going to be a blast.
I don't know. I still remember the last time they had entertainment, which was 8 years ago. And I think it was a magician.
A magician.
Yes. They thought I was the magician. I was wearing a hat.
Magician hat?
No, just a hat.
Okay.
It was a more formal hat than I usually wear, but it was not a magician's hat. So they thought because I was wearing a hat that I must be dressed up in a costume as a magician. I said, no, I'm just wearing a hat. Anyway, not that exciting a story, but we'll see what happens. And we'll see what else I get to, because if that does my Saturday night, I don't know what I'm going to do on Sunday. And then Monday, I have much excitement. I hear that there's a community board meeting that I can watch online and complain about the thing I'm unhappy about.
Ooh.
The city of New York redesigned all the Queens bus routes, and as you may remember, I live in Queens. And I've read through the original proposal, the revised proposal, and now the final proposal. And the only things I liked about the previous proposals are what they took out in the final proposal. So I'd like to hear if anybody is also upset about the same thing I'm upset about.
Interesting.
I've grew up in the same neighborhood I live in. I feel very strongly about the fact that I cannot get on a bus and take it to the place that I want to go. And I'm not the only one because they proposed rerouting the bus to do that. But guess what? That is the bus they cut in the final division. They had another bus that I really liked the route it was taking, except they decided to get rid of that one too and then reroute a different bus, which goes to a completely different place on a route that is already traveled by another bus, instead of putting a bus onto a route that doesn't currently have one. I'm trying to phrase this in general terms that nobody who isn't familiar with Queens geography would struggle with.
I'm
And just,
struggling.
yeah, I'm just saying, bus does not go here. They propose bus go there. All buses that go to new places get cut. Unhappy. If I work on that a bit, it could be a really good haiku.
It could.
Anyway, we'll see what else I do for next week. And if anybody has any interesting thoughts on desk upgrades, I'm trying to figure out, have I missed any in terms of stability for mounting stuff and other th and organizational tools. And once I feel like I've gotten all the wires cleaned up, I may actually try to take a picture and put it in the show notes. I think I have taken a few pictures of the desk through the years. Because I remember I had like the little desk that was the podcast only desk that I kept in the corner of the room. Then I had the bigger desk, then I had the smaller desk. We've been recording this thing a long time, haven't we?
We have.
How many desks have you gone through?
Actually, this is only my second desk.
Technically speaking, this is my third. Since we started. But there's been like minor release versions as well as major release versions.
Of your desk?
Yes. So I the for example, the legs on this desk were originally attached to a different top. I swapped out the top for this thicker one because the other top, because it was a hollow one, the clamps were starting to sort of sag it a bit.
Right.
So I switched to something that was not hollow. And then in the latest iteration, which I'm referring to as Desk 3.1, I added in the metal reinforcement plates under the clamps. So even though this desk is not likely to cave in, it'll distribute the vibrations a bit. Or at least that's what I hoped. So we'll see what's on for Desk 3.2.
3.2.
Yeah. So until next time, Jerry.
Until next time. Bye, folks.
Goodbye.